So I'm just going to just read a scripture, and here we go. It's going to be James 4, 1 through 8. Where do wars and fights come from? Come from among you? Do they come? I'm so sorry. Excuse me. Do they come from your desires? You're going to have to read it.
I want to read this. Jennifer's a little bit of a mess. Just the goodness of God, the greatness of God just overwhelms us. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet, cannot obtain. You fight and war. Keep in mind, he's talking to a church here. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. He goes on to say, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Say, thank God for grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded.
I'm going to focus on verse 8. And Mark and I were talking about this, where it talks about, you know, when it says draw near to God and he draws near to you. Well, we all know that he dwells in us, right? Mm. But it's not that. It's when you draw near in yielding your whole life to him, every area of your life. He takes what's inside of you in your spirit, and he puts it to what you submit to. I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly, but draw near to God, and he draws near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I used this example yesterday. Is that when you go to work for someone and then they train you, you take on the characteristics of how to do things under the leadership or your boss, right? Yeah. You learn how to do things their way, right? So it's kind of the same thing. What you submit, or the things that you submit to the leader, the headship, Jesus Christ, every area that you submit, he's able to take what's on the inside of you and put it to where it needs to go. Yeah. He's.
That's right. Come on.
But when it talks about double-minded, I'm just going to share a quick testimony and then I'll sit down. I've really been meditating on the mind being a feeder of your heart, and that the things that you think about sometimes will reveal what's going on in your heart. So if you find yourself thinking about things, you know, that's what's going on there. So that's one area which I've been, you know, meditating on is my mind, my thought life. My thought life, what I'm really thinking on. And I am concentrating on my mind always on him in every area of my life, you know, just whatever situation. So fast forward it. Last night, Seth called us about 11:30. Sorry, God's so good. About 11:30 last night, and he was concerned. There was a knot that appeared on his forearm, or the top of his arm, and it really concerned him because it just came out of nowhere. And it I think it probably scared him a little bit. So, you know, he called, and so we prayed with him. But my first thought, it was so cool, because my first thought was, you know, he's healed. I know that he's healed. I just know. But then a few minutes later, there was a thought that came up that was not of God. And it was like, I knew I did not need to play around with that. That is not God. And so it just, it's like you can control your mind. You can think on things that are pure and honest and of good report. You can. And so this morning I texted and it's God. And God is so good. And I want And he only wants it not to control you, but to help your life here be so good.
That's right.
Amen. I knew this yesterday when I was praying that there would be a lot of things that the Lord just wanted to just declare over you this morning. Okay, so we're going to declare some things. What does it mean? It means that the areas in your life that you haven't seen the kingdom of God in operation. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to us, to reign as a king in a new kingdom. All of last year was about the kingdom and learning about the kingdom. Because God had told me in 2017, November of 2017, right there in the middle of the Atlanta airport, that the kingdom of God enters into the earth through the hearts of men. And so if the hearts of men aren't aligned with the kingdom of God, then other people won't be able to experience it. If you're not experiencing the rule and the reign of the king in your own life, then you will not be able to take the kingdom to others. And it is not God's design for you that you live a year, 2, 5, 10, 15, the whole life trying to get God to do things for you and trying to receive the blessing of God and try to one day get to some place that you finally, your ship has arrived. No, when you said, Jesus be Lord of my life, your ship just arrived. Everything that you need for godliness, everything that you need for life has been freely given to you. But we can talk about those things and we can get excited about those things and we can say yes, amen, and then never experience them. I'm not interested in what you're amening. I'm interested in what you're experiencing. It's about the fruit of the King operating in your life. If Jesus came, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, if Jesus came for this purpose, Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then a child of God has no business having the works of the devil operating in his life. And I know sometimes we like, well, then how do we not? Well, I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. Because this is the year. If you'll receive it, and if you'll grab a hold of it, this is the year that you step into a place that the King reigns in every area of your life. What does that mean? It means that being part, you're not just a subject of the kingdom. You're not just a subject to the king. You are part of the family. You are a royal priesthood. You are joint heirs. And so everything that the Father has given the Son, he has also given to us. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father." Say, "My Father." It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For you to live out of the kingdom. For you to experience his best. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. That means the curse should not come into our lives. That means the curse should not affect us. That means those things that happen out in the world, we are exempt from. We live in a different place. We live in a different kingdom. And when it tries to come in, when Satan would try to attack, when other people try to attack, that we're not always on the defense, but we are on the offense, and we are obliterating the works of darkness, and we're not allowing them to happen in our life. Amen. That as we pray for people, that sickness has come in, that we recognize according to Romans chapter 8 that if the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, this has to be so real to you. This has to be so real to you. Let me give you a testimony. I'm going to use Greg as an example. Greg Baker, on our men's trip back in September, was scheduled to go in for surgery on his shoulder, and one of the best doctors in Birmingham was going to do the surgery, and because there had been a tear in the rotator cuff and damage and that sort of thing. And so we gathered around, we prayed for him. Pull up Romans chapter 8, verse 11, please. We prayed for him, and as we prayed, God gave me a picture. And what I saw was just like the Spirit of God, but I saw like this flowing light, if you will, going in and mending that tear in his rotator cuff. Right here, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, this is more than just an amen. This is more than just this would be great. You've got to capture this and see it in your heart. This has to be the understanding that you live your life from. Raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. This is your mortal body. That means he's going to, that by the Spirit, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Talking about the Spirit of God. I saw that happen with Greg. I saw that the tear is just like all of a sudden was just being knit up by the Spirit of God. And I told him that. And we prayed over the surgery and all of that. And he went into to surgery. And the doctor came out afterwards and said, I've been doing this for years. I've never seen anything like this. He said, but here on your x-ray is the tear. And he said, but we got in there and there's no tear. That's a thank you, Jesus. That's a miracle of God. Tears don't repair themselves. A tear in a rotator cuff doesn't heal up on its own. That's why you have to go in and have surgery, unless you've got the Spirit of God that will do it. And he said, and we also went in deeper, and we always expect to see more damage there. It always creates more damage. And he said, and we got there, and there's no damage whatsoever. And the only thing we did is we took a tendon and just laid it back over where it needed to be, and you're good to go. Am I telling the truth? That's a miracle of God. That's the reign of the King in his life. And to his body. Praise God. Praise God. Melissa Duke, Allen, who sometimes plays keyboard, they'd asked me to, she tore a bicep muscle. Okay? And it had been bothering her for months. And so finally, I mean, they prayed about it. Finally, she scheduled for surgery. This just happened last week. Scheduled for surgery. They asked us to pray. So that they could go in and repair it, you know, and we prayed. God gave me a word for her. They went in. Nothing was tore. Everything was completely healed. Everything is perfect. No problem whatsoever. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Jesus is still in the miracle working business today. The Spirit of God lives in you to apply the reign of the King in your life. And so I would say, as you look at different areas of your life this year, what I want you to do, 2019, let this be for you the year of the reigning King in your life. And what does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like this. It looks like, Jesus, you're the King. And we read it in James. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. So therefore, submit yourself to God. And the reason for submission, and the reason why the curse doesn't get to come in, is because what happens is God wants to do so many amazing things. Heal your brokenhearted, or your broken heart. Heal the hurts where people have hurt you. Set you free from the areas that you've not been able to set yourself free, that you've tried over and over and over again, and that you've promised him over and over and over again. Jesus came to give you lasting freedom once and for all. And if you've struggled with things right now, today can be your day, this month can be your month, but this year needs to be your year. This is the year that the King reigns in my life. He called you to the life of the overcomer. He called you to the life of victory. He called you to live the life of more than a conqueror. The blessings that have been given to everyone who overcomes, glory to God, you see it in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 to 7 different churches. To he that overcomes, I will cause to eat out of the tree of life. To he that, we have been called to the life of an overcomer. But who is the overcomer? What does it take to overcome? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 5. Thank you, Father. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You will not overcome until you are born again. The overcoming life is only to those that are part of the family of God. So if you're not sure, if you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're part of the family of God, you're not sure that you've asked Jesus into your heart to change your life, it's really simple. But make that decision today to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, thank you for being raised from the dead. He was the firstborn from the dead so that you could be the nextborn from the dead. Because your life until you have Jesus is just a dead life. And everyone that loves him, let's see. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him. Loves him who is begotten of him. If you love God, you love Jesus. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Some people would take that to mean that the only way for me to prove my love for God is to make sure I do everything that he says. And really, it's not I need to do this to prove. What it's really saying is that your submission to God is a measure for you. It's a measuring stick, if you will, and an indicator of whether or not you really have received the love of God into your life. Because once you get a revelation, this is what changed mine and Jennifer's life all those years ago, 7 years ago, is once we got a revelation of just how much God loves us, he loved us to set us free. He didn't love us just to forgive us so that we can continue to live our own life the way that we wanted to. He loved us to set us free from a lifestyle that would create pain and misery and destruction. He loved his whole creation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. We would move out of a way so that we wouldn't have to experience destruction, but we experience his goodness and have everlasting life. But it starts right here, right now, right where you are. Not when I get to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, my submission to God and what he says in his word is an indicator of my revelation of his love for me. And so if I continue to just live life my own way, then it's an indicator that I haven't really gotten a revelation of how much he loves me. Because when I do, then there's a response to him that says, I don't want what I want for my life. I want what you want for my life. Amen. I don't want to walk my destiny that I had planned. I want to walk out your destiny for my life. Because everything that you have for me is better. So God, live in me. Reign in me. Be Lord over my life. Don't just be my Savior, but be Lord. This is the year of the reigning King. For whatsoever, here it is, whatever is born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. What you believe is essential. Who is he who overcomes the world? Verse 5. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Where's your starting place? 2019, where's your starting place? It's about Jesus. Jesus overcame. Jesus defeated death. Jesus defeated sickness. Jesus defeated sin. Jesus said that he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. He came to destroy every work of the devil. Every work of evil in your life. What is your purpose? What is your destiny? Your purpose and your destiny is to put God on display in your life. Your purpose and your destiny is to demonstrate Him, is to show this world just how good He is. And how do you do that? You do that by receiving, by saying, God, I'm your son, and so I'm going to receive from you. There's a scripture that says, what shall I render to the Lord? What shall I give back to the Lord? Don't we ask that question sometimes? What do I give back? God, what can I give? For what you've done for me, what can I give back to you? What will I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? Everything that he's given towards me. And the answer to that question is not work more and not prove to God that you love him. The answer to that question, he says, I will take of the cup of salvation. I will receive out of what God has freely. In other words, the best thing that I can do, you know, there's things that I want to do for my children. That if my children came to me and they said, Dad, and they're adult children, Dad, what can we do for you that will, to earn your favor? To earn your love? What can I do to earn your blessing? What can I do? If they came to me that way, I probably won't slap them upside the head. Have you not known that I just love you? What if they said, what if at Christmas time, as they came together, they started a month, okay, what do you need me to do before I can get my Christmas gift? Dad, I know that you're a good dad and all of that, but I want to, I want to work for the Christmas gift. Well, that's just, we say that's ridiculous. Nobody, no kid would ever do that. Well, you're the king's kid. You're the king's kid. And the Father has such an abundant love towards you, an abundant grace towards you, and amazing, he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Exceeding abundant. This could be a year, if you'll let him, this could be a year for you that he does exceeding abundantly above everything that you can ask or think. That's his desire for you. How do we position ourselves to be recipients of the extravagant love of God, to be recipients of his goodness, to agree with what he said about us, to take hold of, by faith, the things that God has freely provided us, to allow the king to reign and to rule in our life? The areas that you didn't want to give up because you just want to hold on to those things because that's what makes you feel good. That's what gives you value. That's where you get your identity from. Those are things that it's time in 2019 to let go and let the Spirit of God come in and to assert his authority and to assert his rule and to assert, because when he comes into those areas and he rules in those areas, then you have the nature of heaven. You have the goodness of heaven. You have the flow of heaven. You have the blessing of your Father in those areas of your life. Let him root out every fear. Let me talk about that for a second. This needs to also be a year, 2019. There are going to be opportunities throughout this year for your heart to have fear. It'll probably happen nationally. It may happen around the world. Things that happen globally, that if you're not established in righteousness and if you're not established, there are two things we're supposed to be established in righteousness and established in grace. And so this year for you needs to be a year that you are established. Turn with me over to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. P- Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. In other words, God is reigning through him. He has submitted himself to the things of God. He's yielding. He's yielding. What is submission? You're yielding to God. You're saying, God, have your way. Let the word have your way. I'm going to hold on to your way. That's why Jennifer was talking about, what are you focusing on? What are you thinking about? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. That is a promise for your offspring, that your seed will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. We don't talk about generational curses here. We talk about generational blessing. There is a blessing on you. I said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Why? The next verse says, for this purpose, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. It's a generational blessing that gets handed down to my children, to their children. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Don't think for a minute that God doesn't want some to be blessed and others not to be blessed. When you step into the household of the King, every need is supplied. There is a supply that comes out of the kingdom of heaven to take care of whatever you need. In Luke chapter 12, when he was talking about it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he was talking about your needs, your daily living. It tells us that Jesus Christ became poor that we might be rich. In other words, this is a year to let the King reign in your finances. Amen. Let the King reign in your business finances, in your personal finances, which means yield to him in what he tells you to do about your finances. Amen. Understand that every resource that you have, everything that's in your hands, it is given to you by God. Because he's given it to you so you can steward it, so that you can seek first the kingdom with it. What is the King telling you? Be faithful to steward what God has given you. Yield your finances and your financial area and your money over to the King. And just do what he says to do. And it's not hard. Yeah, but I need it for this. Yeah, but I need it for this. And so the way that we sometimes respond to God in different areas of our lives is what I want and what I need. And I've got I involved. And Jesus never talked about I. He talked about the will of the Father. And if you want the King to reign, then you need to yield to the King in every area. So this needs to be a year that you allow that. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. In whose house? The one who has the fear of the Lord, that is yielding to him in all things. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light. There arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Okay, get this. Get this. If you live your life and you die and nobody remembers you after that, then you have lived your life in vain. You have a greater destiny and a greater purpose than just trying to get through life so you can go to heaven. The life of the righteous should be an everlasting remembrance that people talk about you, that there is a legacy that you leave to your children, to your children's children, and to those around you, that you are to demonstrate God is manifested to you, through you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a picked out, chosen people, sanctified and set apart for him according to the word of God, that you should, for this purpose, demonstrate, show forth the praises of him. That's what you were created for. To demonstrate him, to let him demonstrate his love to you and through you. His righteousness endures forever. Let's see here. Look at this, verse 7. He will not be afraid of bad news. That's just why I want to read that. He will not be afraid of evil tidings, of bad news. He will not be afraid of what's going on in the stock market. He will not be afraid of what's going on in our government. He will not be afraid of what's happening over in China and what's happening around the world. He will not be afraid of what Russia's trying to do. He will not be afraid of what's happening in the Middle East. He will not be afraid when bad news externally. So you got an opportunity to hear bad news this year, but if you're established in Him, you're going to grow into Him, and fear won't come. I hear that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? His heart is established, or his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. A lot of times we're spending our time trying to cast out our own fear. We rebuke fear. We deal with fear. All of those kind of things. That's not the prescription for fear. The prescription for fear isn't you getting rid of fear. The prescription for fear is for you receiving the love of God. The love of God, when you really get it, when you see how much you are loved, accepted by Him, when you see how much He wants to reign in your life, when you see how much of you He wants to be involved in your life, when you receive that and when you accept who you are, when you accept what God has done, that love will actually, the Bible says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will literally come into you and supernaturally do a work in your life that the love of God just begins to capture your heart, change your heart. You begin to think about people differently. You begin to love people differently. You begin to think, man, and love God differently, but it's a supernatural work. You can't cause the love of God to be manifest in your heart. You've got to yield to Him and let Him and say, God, give me revelation. Open my eyes. Let me see it. And when you do, then the love of God casts out the fear. So my job isn't to focus on the fear. My job is to focus on the love and the one who is love. And then the fear will be taken care of. Now, for some of you that have dealt with a tremendous fear, tremendous fear. This is not something I had planned on talking about this morning, but apparently there's people here or by live stream that have been dealing with fear coming into this year, or maybe you've been dealing with fear throughout your whole life. Fear that you're not good enough. Fear of heights. Fear of whatever. Different people have different paranoias, different fears, different phobias, that kind of thing. God never intended for His children to live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then let 2019 be the year that you really personally receive the love of God for yourself. And what that means is once you know how much He loves you, and once you really, and the only way to do it is to see it through Jesus. See Him. See what He did. See what He did on the cross. See everything that He went through. See how He demonstrated. Say, God demonstrated His love towards us when that we were sinners. He sent Christ to die for us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God first, but that He loved us when we weren't lovable. And this is the truth that has transformed our lives, that the more that we see how much God loves us, and the more that we receive that love, the more that we just don't walk in fear. We don't walk in fear because God's got us. God has me. God has you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But the areas that if I have fear in my life, are the areas that I haven't yielded to Him and really trusted to Him. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to make some decisions, and then I got some exciting announcements to talk about and some things to talk about where we're going. First of all, let's just do this. Let's just right now focus on Jesus for a moment. Make a quality decision. Make a decision this year that this is the year of the King who reigns in your life. I'm going to talk about these things for the rest of this month. I had a whole lot of things that I want to talk about this morning, but this is a good intro, and we'll just stretch it out because this is so important. If you'll take this month and be here every Sunday morning, this month, this week, for the next 4 weeks, and listen to what I'm teaching. If you're not even sure that you get what I'm saying, if you think that, well, I think that God's reigning in my life, but I'm not sure that He is. But I know that there are areas that hasn't lined up with what God has said. I still have some doubt. I still have some insecurity. I still have some areas where I'm not sure what my purpose is. Be here for the next month, okay? Because we're gonna grow in this together. All right, but let's do this. Let's make a decision that for 2019 that we really are going to be recipients of God's, of the kingdom of God. To be a recipient of His love is to allow the King to reign in your life, because Him reigning is simply Him wanting to have His best and freedom to operate in and through you so that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, right now, we just thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your amazing grace. Father, we declare that this is a year, that we don't just with our words say that You're Lord over our life, that this isn't just a year that we continue to do things the same way, but Father, that we're always being changed from glory to glory to glory. You have proven Yourself so faithful that even when we're not faithful, You are faithful. Father, and we look to Your faithfulness. Sarah judged You faithful, and so she was able to get pregnant and have Isaac. And so, Father, we look forward to the things that You have created for us and given to us. But, Father, it starts here with a fresh, at the beginning of this year, 2019, to say yes to You. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
To say yes to You in every area of my life. Yes. To say yes to You. Regarding Your love for me, to say yes, what shall I render to You for all of Your benefits? I will take of the cup of salvation. I will be, Father, I will say yes to You so that I can position myself to be just an amazing recipient of Your extravagant love to me. Jesus, demonstrate Yourself through my life. King Jesus, may You be the one on display in me. May Your glory be manifested through my life. This is what you should be praying for yourself just as you commune with the Father right now. Jesus, get Mark out of the way and let it just be You all the way. I just yield completely. Father God, have Your way. Father God, continue to demonstrate Your love in my life and in Jennifer's life and in our family's life and here at Life of Faith. Father, we yield everything to You. Submit everything to You. Every wrong thought, every wrong action, every wrong motive. Father, we yield our hearts and our motives to You now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, don't just be Lord of my life and my actions and my thoughts. Be Lord of my heart. Be Lord. Let my actions originate out of Your love for me. So not only reign in my life, and I declare that 2019, Jesus, is You reigning in the lives of people here as we are yielding to You in a way that's never been done before. And that this church, and that this city, and that this nation will see Your glory in this year in a way that the world has never seen before. And Your love in a way that has never been seen before. As You reign in us, and as You reign through us. That means the kingdom, child of God, will be established in your life. But then you are carriers of that kingdom and your influence will increase. He sets you free. He sets you free. You may be here this morning. He's like, I've never heard anything like this. I still got my own stuff to deal with. Well, you stick around here. You're going to experience freedom so rapidly and so quickly. What we say is we're here for you to experience real, lasting freedom so that you can thrive in your God-given destiny. Okay? But we do it together. We grow together up into Him. Do you receive that this morning? Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.